Well, welcome everybody, and thank you so much for joining us for another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there in New York City. David, today, I'm saying this right off the top for those of you that are listening on YouTube. Unfortunately, YouTube will not allow us to broadcast unfiltered, uncensored truth. And this episode of Unmasking Evil is nothing but unfiltered, uncensored truth. There is right now a banner on screen for those of you watching us on YouTube, which will lead you over to Rumble. And there you're going to see the entire presentation. In it, we are going to tell you exactly why the Ukrainian-Russian war started. Factually, we have the information that's been hidden from you, from the mainstream media, and this is something that cannot, there's no doubt, there is absolutely no doubt that this is the true reason. So if you really want to know why it started, you need to go to Rumble to find that out. Same thing with Israel and Gaza. We've got updates for you there. Again, unfiltered and uncensored. And then the big story that the mainstream media, the state-run media, the whatever deep state media is hiding from you on Syria, we're going to unmask that for you as well. So we're going to be unmasking evil. So if you're watching us on YouTube, go to Rumble, because there and only there will you get the truth that no one, not Fox, not CNN, not MSNBC, not the New York Times, nobody has the real scoop but us. So take a chance and come over and take a look at it. David, with that, if you would please pray us into today's show. And for those of you watching us on Rumble or other places, you can follow the show from there. Go ahead, David.
Yay. So, Father, we come before you in the name of Yeshua. We thank you, Father, that we can be your watchmen on the wall here and expose the evil for what it is. We thank you, Father, that your word, the contract, offers us protection as we are ambassadors doing your kingdom. So we ask your secret service angels to surround us and those listening, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We give you all the praise and glory as we reveal the darkness so we can lead people to your truth and your light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, David, of course, this is also our week in review, but in this particular case, it all ties in to our story here, because this is the only topic for today, is unmasking evil, and we're going to go through it a little bit at a time here. So let me put up the first bit of news, which is the United States and the Ukraine. The Ukrainian President Zelensky has yet to fully accept a U.S. proposed 30-day ceasefire with Russia. Now, while the Ukrainian president has now apologized for his conduct and behavior in the White House meeting with President Trump and Vice President Vance, he is continuing to demand that he be allowed to join NATO, and he's also defiant in accepting the inevitable loss of territory to Russia. Now, meanwhile, President Donald Trump is warned of severe financial sanctions against Moscow should it reject the ceasefire, emphasizing the importance of Russia's commitment to peace. All parties understand the ceasefire itself is contingent upon Russia's agreement. Now, finally, following discussions in Saudi Arabia, the U.S. agreed to resume intelligence sharing and military aid to the Ukraine, aiming to bolster the Ukrainian defense capabilities amid the ongoing tensions. Now, there's a lot to that, David. First of all, I'll get your initial reaction to that, and then I've got some news, again, that's going to be completely different to what has been reported in the media. And I call it now the deep state media, because that's really what the mainstream media has become. And
essentially, bought out. And with our money, apparently, because Doge is finding out that that's where they're funneling all those billions of dollars.
Right, exactly. And Fox News has become slightly left-leaning in the past.
Controlled opposition.
Yeah. And so I'm not really thrilled with them either. And all of it I'm going to expose here in a minute. But go ahead and what do you think of that initial report there?
Well, I think it's funny because I love the Babylon Bee. Everything's like ridiculously funny on there, and there's satire and news. BabylonBee.com is a little plug for him. But the latest one, it says, has a headline. It says, Putin agrees to ceasefire as soon as he's done conquering Ukraine. Therein lies the truth. As funny as that sounds,
you would think, but the truth goes a little bit deeper, and that's what I'm going to get into next. But the first thing I want to do, though, is I want to play this from now. This is the guy that is the head of the NATO. I don't know if he's called a president or a chairman or whatever, but anyway, this is the head honcho anyway with NATO.
He's already taken off Ukraine joining NATO off the table. Mm-hmm. So Ukraine is left asking this question: how are we going to know we're going to have proper security?
Yeah, but he was also very clear, Pete Hegseth in Brussels, but also the president himself, that when there is a deal on Ukraine, it has to be lasting. It has to be durable. Putin should not have to try this again. So the question is then, how do you do this post a peace deal? Then I would side with the president. You first need to have a peace deal before you can get into these details. Obviously, behind the screens, there will be discussions on the what if there is a peace deal, how then to maintain that. But there are many ways to do that.
Okay, well, that may be true. However, truth be known, the reason for the Russian-Ukrainian conflict lies squarely with NATO itself and in league with, and I hate to say this, but in league with the United States of America. And I have proof of that.
The old one or the new one we just got?
Yeah, I have proof of that, okay? And I'm going to show it here. During the Reagan administration, the Soviet Union still existed. We were still in the Cold War era. And Reagan went, I think everybody's seen it, went to Germany and said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Okay. And they went on with negotiations for quite a while. And they finally said, okay, look, we'll take down the wall. We will allow the Germany to be reunited, but the promise that you must make to us is that NATO will not expand in our direction, and specifically will not do it in the Ukraine. You have to think about that for a minute, in that let's say you have a country in South America, which is Soviet style, and they continue to move up further and further, and now they're moving into Mexico. How would we react to that situation? Mm-hmm. So watch this one carefully. And if you're not watching in video form, please go to Rumble to see this, because when you see it, it makes a huge impact as to the reason for the Russian-Ukrainian conflict. Watch this carefully. This is the expansion of NATO. And you will notice the Ukraine right there was just about to expand right on in, very right up close to Russia. Mm-hmm. That's what scares them. And that was the reason for the invasion, because the Russians looked at this and they said, hey, the Ukraine is about to become NATO. They're about to be able to place nuclear bases right there at our doorstep. Not going to happen. Now, look, I know there's going to be people out there, David, that are going to say, well, you're biased toward Russia. No, I'm not. I'm an American. I want us to succeed. But at the same time, we have to realize that historically, we're on the wrong side of this one. We allowed this to happen, and you can argue all you want to, and I'm talking to people out there, you can argue all you want to, but Ukraine would have been accepted into NATO had they applied and Russia was not there. Because then we would have NATO would have been in a position right there with against Russia, and they could not have attacked the Ukraine because of Section 5 of NATO, which says an attack on one is an attack on all. Now, what do you think about that, David?
Yeah, I mean, that's the Putin does not want to be part of the one world government. And that's where he is. So, you know, whether you think of him as good or evil isn't really the question. The point is they don't like each other. And here's the one world government people saying, oh, we're going to build a one world government. And Russia's like, no, we don't want any part of that. We want our own money. We want our own banking system. We want everything.
Right.
And therein lies that. Now, NATO, little by little, they'll pretend they're peaceful and all that. But the bottom line is they want to conquer everything.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it doesn't matter what side you're on. That's like, you know, when the midget was asking Trump, well, whose side are you on? He's like, I'm not on any side.
Right.
He says, I'm trying to save. Here's these young boys. All they did was grow up, and you're sending them into war to kill each other.
Right.
He said, that's not right. He says, I'm just trying to save the lives of these young men. You know, and has nothing to do with your political nonsense.
Right.
You got to give him that. You know, and that's why he wants peace. He says, I don't care who's right and who's wrong. We need to have peace so we don't kill everybody. And these are the agreements we're going to make.
I totally agree. Okay. Now then, the conflict is continuing there in the Ukraine, obviously. President Trump, since he's come into office, has tried to negotiate, unlike Biden with his don't statements. And being a paper tiger, the world knows that if Trump says something, they better listen.
Yeah, now, he's going to do it when they're not looking.
Right. So when Zelensky went into the White House and made a fool of himself, and yes, I said that, he made a fool of himself, Trump then came down and said, okay, you want to be like that? See what it's like without the United States involved. And he pulled all of the he discontinued sending arms over there. He discontinued their ability to take advantage of our satellite imagery. We weren't giving him any intelligence information anymore. Basically, the Ukraine was by itself. And Vladimir Putin is also not an idiot. So what he did is he immediately began to move again hard against the Ukraine. And what he ended up doing, I'll put it up on screen now. What he ended up doing is completely surrounding thousands of Ukrainian troops. And President Trump came in, and his exact quote here is, I have strongly requested to President Putin that their lives be spared. This would be a horrible massacre, one not seen since World War II. Now, that is a very strong statement. So, immediately after that, you've got that Russian President Putin has acknowledged the U.S. President Trump's request and says he will spare the lives of those surrounded Ukrainian troops if they surrender. Now, of course, should they surrender, that territory, David, is lost. Don't you agree?
Yeah, and that's what he wants. And you know, not for nothing, he's just looking to protect his country. And you know, you showed the evidence there. They're trying to encroach upon him. And if Ukraine was like buddies with Russia, we wouldn't have this problem. And they're like, yeah, we don't want nothing to do with NATO. But that therein lies the problem. Is they want to join the forces that are against Russia.
What Zelensky has done, David, is he has kind of backed himself into a wall. Now, we both know that there are articles of impeachment being entered in his parliament there in the Ukraine, trying to get him out of office. We know that he has blocked elections, trying to hold on, and that his popularity is below 10% in the country. We know that the vast majority of Ukrainians want the war to end, even if that means giving up territory. And we also know that the areas that Russia has now occupied inside the Ukraine basically favor being Russian over the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So the easy answer to all of this, and the way to find peace in this, is to come to a ceasefire and then to allow the territories that Russia has occupied, again, in Ukrainian areas that want to be part of Russia, bottom line, allow that to happen, create that buffer zone to where the United States, where the Russians are confident that they're not going to be invaded by NATO, disqualify them from membership into NATO following the agreements made during the Reagan administration in the 1980s, and the war will end. It's so easy that, you know, I can see how this agreement can happen with President Trump's leadership. And your final comments on this particular section.
Well, I dare say if I was over there and I lived in Ukraine and I saw the difference in what I'm going to... So it's like me now saying, hey, let's say we're Texas down by you somewhere. Do we want to be part of Mexico and all their stuff, or do we want to be part of the United States? Well, okay, let's be part of the United States. A little bit better opportunity. That's where these people are. They're like, what opportunity do we have in Ukraine other than, you know, we have a nationality that we're Ukrainian, but they really are all the same people. They just cut the land off in different places. It's not like it's an ethnic group. They're all from the same. They're all from the Scythians and you know, some of the heritages, other heritages that are over there. They're all the same heritage.
Right.
So now it's just a matter of, you know, you got a basketball game and they're calling out teams. Well, I want to be on your team. Well, who wouldn't want to be on a better team?
Yeah, for real. I just don't see, a way that Ukraine wins in this situation. I think it's just a question of the fact that NATO pushed it too far. They just simply pushed it too far. They broke the agreement, or they haven't really broken it yet, because Ukraine is not a part, you know, hasn't been placed in NATO, and that was the one country that they were very specific about that could not ever be a part of NATO. So they haven't really broken it yet, but they've bent it about as far as you can possibly bend it, you know. All right, let's look at the next one here.
Like a cat, they want to push as close to the edge as they can.
Right. Again, now all of this news is provided by KRRB Revelation Radio News Network. We no longer affiliate ourselves with any of the other entities, simply because they don't tell you the truth. Bottom line. Here we go with Israel and Hamas. Hamas has reportedly agreed to release an American Israeli hostage and the bodies of four dual nationals to sustain the ceasefire negotiations over Gaza. However, Israel has expressed skepticism, accusing Hamas of manipulating the talks, as is its history, having failed to ever fulfill any agreement proposed. And I've got some more. I've got some breaking news for you guys on this one. Also, Israel has conducted airstrikes near Damascus, Syria, targeting a command center linked to the Palestinian militant group, the Islamic Jihad. The strikes were aimed to disrupt planned attacks against Israel and to provide protection to Syrian Alawites and Christian civilians from the continuing massacre by the new Syrian regime. Again, I've got some graphic stuff for you guys on this coming up. Also, the strikes, when reported by the deep state-run media, do not present factual information but are biased, left-wing, anti-Semitic reports attempting to sway public opinion against Israel. And I want your comments on that last part, David. Do you believe that the media is swinging things in a left-wing, progressive, whatever you want to call it, direction?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same principalities and powers we've known that have been around for millennia. Mm-hmm. And they're all swaying people. Now we're going to get into Bible prophecy to try and get that, because they don't want Israel to exist. Because if Israel ceases to exist, then they won't fulfill the prophecy that they will return and accept their Messiah.
Right.
So if they can get rid of them, then the prophecy can't be fulfilled. And that's what happened all along. We see the same thing if you read the some of the other books with Abraham. The king tried to kill him when he was a baby, because they said, hey, listen, all the stars line this, the Matzarath. They said, this happened. That means this is going to be God's chosen man. And he tried to kill him, but he ran away, lived with Noah for 50 years. His dad, killed another baby and said it was him. And then 50 years later, he comes back and says, surprise, I'm Abraham. So that was fun.
Yeah, swinging
and then,
a miss.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, he tried to kill all the babies when the Messiah came. So it's the same MO. He's going to try and kill off all of Israel. And you can only do that if you get the whole world to hate them. So, yeah, they're spending all the money that they stole. Apparently, Elon Musk is finding all the money. So many things they're finding that it wasn't just thievery. They literally, it wasn't mismanagement. It was literally thievery, where they were filtering it through all these organizations to send to the Soroses et al. Of the world to then fund all these protests and the news and everything else, and then put in their own judges. And oh my goodness, the web of evil is amazing.
Unmasking evil is what he's doing right now, and that's the way I look at it. Because eventually, David, don't you agree that they're going to find some kickbacks that involve politicians? And I'm not just saying Democrats. There can be just as many Republicans as available, you know, that are responsible as that. But I believe that they're going to find some big name individuals that are funding this stuff. And we both know for a fact that George Soros pays for a lot of the signage that you see, you know, all those professional signs. Do you think that these college students are actually paying
they all get
for
together
all
and
these
order the exact same professional
Do you really think, you know, if you're that stupid, I'm sorry, okay? If you truly, if you're that stupid, then you need to educate yourself. Those signs are being paid for by somebody, and that somebody has a lot of money, and I can guarantee you that a lot of it is going to go back to George Soros. I'm wondering, and I'm not saying that this is a fact, but I'm wondering if some of those signs aren't paid by the media itself, the deep state media of ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, the New York Times, go on and on and on.
Well, they're getting paid as well. They're funneling a lot of that through a lot of things. Even that merchant, you know, that judge that tried to stop
Judge
Trump
Merchant,
here.
Yeah, right. His wife Merchant is making a mint off of the
prosecution.
Yeah,
the daughter, right?
Yeah. It's crazy.
$15 million so far to funnel to her.
Yeah. Again, unmasking the evil that's going on right now. Then you've got the protests that are going on right now, and I'm watching very closely, and I challenge everybody out there to do the same thing. When they show those protests on TV, I want you to see how narrow that shot is, because there's only like 100 to 200 people, if that, standing out there making an idiot out of themselves, protesting and yelling for basically for the United States of America to just fall apart and let the Democrats take over, even though clearly the 2024 election was a rejection of all Democratic politics. David, go ahead.
Despite all their skullduggery, and he still won. I mean, I can tell you that for 100%, because, you know, I live here in the city. You see those protests all over the place, and they're all the same thing. It's like you're on a game show. Okay, everybody get here, you know, and you know, if you ever went to a church that was a big church and televised, they put you all up front. And it's like, well, I don't want to sit up front. No, we got to do it for the cameras.
Right, exactly.
It's the same thing. They funnel everyone down, and then they find the rowdiest one, or they pay someone to be a rowdy one, and then all of a sudden, that's the whole protest. It's been going on all day. It's literally like a 10-minute shoot. I see it all the time here in the city, all the time. And you know what? The real New Yorkers are actually getting tired of it.
I bet. Okay, I'm going to show this one real quick. Again, now this kind of goes right in with it, David, because I believe these signs are showing up in New York, if I'm not mistaken. But this right here kind of depicts how evil things have truly become. This is a sign for the pro-Palestinian group, and it declares babies are occupiers too. And it says free Palestine by any means necessary, which includes violence. There's no doubt about that. Babies are occupiers too. So everybody out there, here's the question. Raise your hand if you got to pick where you were born. I don't see any hands out there anywhere.
No, David. I don't see nobody out there.
Babies are occupiers too. That's how low they have gone, David. That's how low they've gone.
Well, it's the devil's religion, so there's that.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, but that's just evil. Only way to describe it is evil. Now, in the second half of the show, I'm going to actually show you some photographs of what's actually going on in Syria against the Alawite community and also against Christians in Syria. And here's the deal. None of it's being reported in this deep state media. None of it. And this is where the true atrocities are taking place. Not in Gaza, but in Syria. And I'm going to prove it to you. And that way you can question the media that you're watching and know that when you come to us, that you're going to get the truth of everything that is actually happening. Now, David, we're right now at Last Christian. We're offering these. This is gifts that you guys can get for going over and checking out our website at lastchristian.net. Just go over there and look at it. And if you are led by the Lord to support our ministry, well, we got some nice gifts waiting for you. As a matter of fact, we're going to add a new one next week, which is, I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing there.
That is the original Ark of the Covenant, too,
that's
by the
it.
Way.
For- yeah, that's it right there. So anyway, if you feel led, go over there and take a look at that. But in the second half of the show, you talk about evil, unmasking evil. I got something for you in both just regular picture form and in video form that are going to shake you to the core. We'll be back right after a very short break. Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission, and as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, Mr. David Paxton there in New York. David, right as we ended, now I was telling people about, visiting the lastchristian.net site, and of course we want them to do that, but you've got some stuff going on there, too, that I want people to know about.
Oh, we have lots of fun going on. Number one is Thursday evenings we have our discipleship study. And we get into some topics and a lot of controversial ones, too. Mm-hmm. This last week, we did happen to get into the rapture. And some of our friends weren't completely sold on a pre-trib timing. so we presented our view. But we also, you don't want to argue. The timing of Jesus' return is not a salvation issue. Okay. Although we can, present our scriptures and our thoughts, that's not an issue. Well, what is an issue is, the deity of Christ. That's a huge issue. So we're all on board with that. But we also have the coffee that we have that I drink on here all the time.
Yeah.
And it's because it doesn't make me jittery anymore. So it's nice. Everyday Dose. It's got a mushroom blend in it, but it actually tastes like coffee as well.
Yeah.
Unlike some other things, it tastes like dirt.
It's really good. So, I'm in my second month of it right now. Yeah.
So you could go at everydaydose.com/hiddenday and you'll get some free gifts if you use the hidden day at the end of it too. And we got a link on the site as well. But Joel and I are finding out some cool things, and I'm sure many of you know the acronym FAFO. So we're going to have FAFO Fridays. That's going to be a special. It's not going to be on the radio program. It's specifically going to be recorded as an extra. But you're going to have to go to lastchristian.net. to see that, or just look at it on our Rumble channel. We'll have a link in there as well, but that link will be on lastchristian.net as well. And that's an untimed show. We're just going to talk about the FAFOs for the week, and especially nowadays, since the boss has come in and taken over again, a lot of people are finding out. So that'll give you a clue to what the acronym means. They found out. Or like Yoda would say, around they effed, found out they did.
Yeah, there you go.
So, not that I'm a fond, admirer of Yoda, but anyway, look that one up. He's a demon too. In either case, it's going to be a fun show. We're going to look at all sorts of things, like Adam Schiff and his Chinese girlfriend has stole all his things like that, But every week there's new ones coming out from some people
stuff
just on the street.
Stuff we can't put on other areas. It doesn't really
fit into a news show.
It's going to be free flow, and I mean, we're not going to know what the other one's got, and it's just going to be crazy. So I think y'all are going to like it. Okay, let's get back to this one here.
You'll find
back
out
to some serious business here. We're going to look closer at
Syria.
In the town of Banias, There have been clashes between the Alawite and insurgents loyal to the ousted Bashar al-Assad and Sunni militias, which have resulted in hundreds of Alawite deaths. Now, I'm going to have more on that here in just a second. Alawite deaths and kidnappings, marking one of the most severe incidents of the ongoing civil war. The massacres of the Alawite and Christian civilians has deepened sectarian divides and has led to mass displacements. Now, the Syrian Defense Ministry, this is the new one by this so-called moderate. And again, we'll wait till you see the evil here. But anyway, the Syrian Defense Ministry has announced the completion of military operations against remnants of the previous regime. They say signals a move towards stabilizing the nation and restoring essential services. However, reports on the ground indicate both the military and terror activities are continuing, and the civilian population is becoming more and more dependent on Israeli protection from the new Syrian regime. So let me see. I think the first one that I ought to show here is this, just because. Okay, this is the decline of Christianity in the region. If you look at Lebanon, you see in 1932 it was 53% Christian. Now it's 32%. In Syria, it was 14%. Now it's 1%. That's from 1943 to 2024. Jordan in 1930 was 20% Christian. Now it's 2%. And then in Iraq, it was 12% Christian in 1950, and now it's 0.2%. Now, I argue with those numbers, David, and I think you do too, in that these are people that profess to be Christians.
Right. And they're scared to, most of them.
So. Right. And of course, they would be subject to the most danger. But on a positive note there, I believe that there's more Christians there than they are even capable of counting. I believe that Christianity is at an all-time high in each of those areas. They're just hidden. They're underground churches. Would you agree with that, David?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, why would you, hey, fill out this form. Are you a Christian? Okay, boom, and then they kill you.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Whatever. I'm not filling out the form, or just check any box they want. Who cares? Now, right. The ones that are actually standing there and they say, hey, you need to renounce Christ now, they're saying no, but they're getting beheaded. So it's not like Christianity is declining. It's they're trying to kill them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And
so there's a decline there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the irony of it is now people can see through that. When the truth rears its head, people can see it. And then an evil rears its ugly head and people want nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening here. The evil is rearing its ugly head. Yeah,
right.
They're in there claiming, oh, we're trying to stabilize it and bring peace to everything. But their idea of peace is killing everyone that doesn't agree with them. Right. That's how you're going to have your peace. But I think the bigger thing is how much closer are we to the prophecy of Damascus?
Amen. Yeah, because they're closing right in on it. Israel actually has moved, David, within miles of that. As I hate the word occupy because the land is theirs, but they're moving closer and closer and establishing IDF or Israeli Defense Force encampments right up to the borders of Damascus right now.
Yep, and you know we understood from previous shows that. It may not be just that, you know, hey, they're bombed from above, but Damascus is the most condensed storage places of all these dirty nuclear weapons.
Right.
Okay. So all it takes is one, you know, one cigarette flicked in the wrong direction, basically.
Right. Basically, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
There goes the whole town. Or we also surmise it could be some kind of a natural disaster as well, because the Bible doesn't say exactly. It just says it was here and at night, I woke up in the morning, it was gone.
And that's Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1, for those of you that would like to look it up in the Bible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And the whole chapter, you read that. It's like it's there and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't close your eyes.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I overlooked in the first half, that I apologize for this because I've got to throw it in now, but it's important. And it has to do with Minnesota. And I want you guys to look at this. Again, pure evil here. The Minnesota House voted on a bill which would require doctors to give medical life-saving care to babies who are born alive after botched abortions. Every single Democrat voted against that bill. I want to emphasize this. Every single Democrat voted against a bill that would require doctors to give medical life-saving care to babies who are born alive after botched abortions. And here's the kicker. The bill failed to pass because of those Democrats. So this has turned, in my opinion, the Democrats have turned into a death cult. This is, you talk about pure evil. If you don't give life-saving care to somebody when you can, what is that called, David? I would call that murder. What would you call it?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's a Hippocratic Oath. They're violating that, too. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't even be called doctors because they're not. They're not healthcare professionals in any way, mm-hmm. because abortion is not healthcare, okay? Right. It's scheduled death.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. And I don't care if you like it or not, and I don't care about whether you think it's choice or not. I don't care. You're mm-hmm. wrong. Okay?
Correct.
Jesus said they're alive. He knew mm-hmm. us. You know, John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. Okay?
Yes.
So, King David, I knew you as I knit you together in your mother's womb.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you. Yeah. And then he tells us that he knew us even before creation.
Amen.
He says, you were in my book. He wrote mm-hmm. a book about it.
Yeah, even before creation. I mean, that one is mind-blowing even to Christians, but it's truth. It's just pure mm-hmm. truth.
And that, okay. So that's the bottom line, is if you, you know, if you believe in any way that it's justified, even in a case of rape, that's not the baby's fault. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a sad situation. Okay. But it's still not the baby's fault.
Right.
Okay. So you're still doing it out of convenience.
Amen.
So it's just so many things.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now I'm going to put one up on screen here that's going to surprise David, because I didn't tell him about this beforehand.
Surprise.
But the reason I'm doing this, David, is because I really want to get you, I want to get your raw opinion on it. Okay. This comes from Amir. Okay. And what he's said here is people who keep bombarding you every year with fake news about red heifer ceremonies and try to excite you about the imminent building of a third temple will hide away each year for 3 months after being proven wrong. They will then wait for a new Gregorian year to begin so they may try again during the next 9 months leading up to that year's Jewish fall holidays. These are theologically confused individuals who also confuse others. A third temple will indeed stand in Jerusalem, and sacrifices will resume in it. However, it's the Antichrist who will allow it to be built, and it's the Antichrist who 3.5 years later will stop the sacrifices within it. Since we won't be here for the rise and reign of this man of lawlessness and son of perdition, we should instead focus on eagerly awaiting someone else's appearance. He quotes Hebrews 9:28, which says, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin and for salvation. Now, I agree with 90% of what Amir wrote there, but mm-hmm. my question to you is, does the temple have to be built after the rapture of the church? I don't see that in Scripture where it must be built at that time, but what do you see? I mean, you've been doing this for 45 years, so I'm going to mm-hmm. let you say it.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with this. I just spoke with Mondo Gonzalez this morning about the, I was like, hey, are the cows any good? I said, he's like, you mean the book or the real cows? It's like, no, the real cows. It said, because I heard that one of the rabbis said that none of the red heifers were any good. He says, oh, yeah, that was actually last week. They came in. And he's writing the book from the perspective of being, you know, one of those sensationalists.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that this shows how close we are to the rapture. And I think that's where we need to focus on this. It's not, hey, are we going to call the day? Who cares if we're calling the day? Mm-hmm. The very fact that they have these cows and they're doing this stuff in order to get the red heifers just shows you how close we are to actually having the temple built and actually having these sacrifices so they can have their purifying pots to have the temple ready. That's all it's doing. It's saying, hey, look how close we are. Okay. Right. And it might be today, might be next year. Who knows? Mm-hmm. We're not calling the dates. We're just showing you that here they are. They haven't had one for 2,000 years, and now we got five. It's just close. Yeah. Now, as far as the temple being built before or after, it doesn't even say.
Right. That's really what I wanted to get across here, because I think Amir took it maybe a step too far with that. I mean, I understand what he's saying, but,
necessarily have to be built by the Antichrist.
Right, right. It could be built beforehand or under construction. We just know
they can get it now. They can have the temple rituals of that, like ready to go, like lickety split. Because if you remember, Moses was in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And he had the Holy of Holies there. It doesn't have to be the huge temple that we think of.
Right.
All right. And from what I understand, they actually have everything they need.
Yeah, they got everything built.
And it would take less than a year to put it up.
Amen. Yeah. Okay. In the interest of time, we're going to move on here real quick. Okay.
All right.
And this is what I've been warning you guys on from the beginning of the show. From here on, it gets pretty rough. Okay. But this is real. And again, this is something that you're not going to see in the media anywhere else except here. I want you guys, first of all, to see the treatment that living Alawites and Christians are getting on the streets. Now, this is just on the streets in Syria. Okay, watch this one closely. Now, these guys are alive. You can see them moving in the back of the truck here. And just watch this for a minute. Watch how they're being treated. This is how they treat their prisoners, who are, again, just because they're Alawites and just because they're Christians. That's the only reason for this. Nothing else. And you can see this is not good.
They seem to be tough guys when they have the guns, right?
When they have the guns and all that, they're ready. Now,
he didn't have those guns and he met me in the street, he wouldn't be doing that.
Exactly. You know, this next one I want to show is, let's put this up here real quick. This is the Alawites, again, that's just their, I know that was really, really short, but that is one of the camps where Christians and Alawites are running to get under Israeli protection, okay? Mm. The Israelis are standing between them and what I'm going to show next. And again, none of these are fun to watch at all. But you need to see it because you're not going to get it anywhere else. And I'm going to try to cut this at a good point because it tends to get graphic. So here we go. Don't know if it's a Christian or an Alawite. Let out. And I can tell you that video continues, and you're not seeing the graphic, the really graphic parts. So I'm putting up on screen now. If you go to our new Telegram channel and find the Last Christian Radio Show, it's got the link there, as you can see. So you can go directly there, and you can see all of these videos that I'm showing you fully. And it does include, unfortunately, all of the really brutal parts of this thing. So let's look at this one now. This is what a massacre actually looks like. The aftermath of it. And you can see, again, the roads are just lined with dead bodies. It's not pleasant to see, but that's what's really going on in Syria right now. So next, remember how they were going to release an American hostage today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the update. Hamas says an American-Israeli hostage will only be freed if a ceasefire is implemented. The Hamas terror group said Saturday that it will only release Israeli-American hostage Eden Alexander if Israel implements the existing ceasefire agreement in the Gaza Strip. Alexander's 21 years old. He's the last living American hostage in captivity in the Gaza Strip. A senior Hamas official told the Associated Press that the long-delayed talks over the ceasefire's second phase would need to begin the day of the release and last no longer than 50 days. Israel would also need to stop barring the entry of humanitarian aid and withdraw from a strategic corridor along Gaza's border with Egypt. Hamas has previously agreed to release Alexander along with the bodies of four other hostages following a deal offered by mediators. He's now been held captive for 526 days, and as of Saturday, the hostages and missing families have, of course, been told that it's not going to happen. The office of Steve Witkoff, the special envoy to the Middle East and the National Security Council, said in a joint statement that President Trump has made it clear that Hamas will either release hostages immediately or pay a severe price. Now, remember, we've said it several times, David, Hamas has never kept an agreement ever. And so they made an agreement up to Thursday that they were going to release this American hostage and the bodies of a few that were dead, and then changed their mind on Saturday. So they broke yet another agreement. That's par for the course, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole reason they made a ridiculous agreement. Everyone's complaining, oh, why are you letting 30 of theirs out for each one of ours and this and that? To prove to the world that they can't keep an agreement, even if it's overwhelmingly beneficial for their side. They're not interested in that. Mm-hmm. The only thing they're interested in is their evil plan to destroy a complete nation.
Amen. Amen. Okay, here's the next one. This another breaking news item here that I've got for you guys. Famous Syrian actor, famous over there, not here, obviously, Bashar Ismail, in an interview with Sky News, he said there are 22,000 murdered Alawites and Christians by this Jilani regime. His own family members were also murdered in the city of Jabal. Now, Ismail is an Alawite, but he had reservations about Bashar al-Assad's regime even before the revolution. And today he says that this Jilani and Bashar are the same thing. Now, this was initially reported by Amir Tesfarte again, and I confirmed it through several sources. But the one thing that I left in there from Amir is that it says no media coverage, no mass protest. In other words, no Jews, no news. And, you know, that's pretty much par for the course. I got one more image here I'm going to show, David, before we go, because I want people to know just how bad this really is in Syria. You know, all the attention of the world right now, as far as the media goes, is on Israel. Oh, Israel's doing this, and Israel's doing that, and Israel is responsible for this. And, you know, they're the mm-hmm. occupiers, and they're the bad people, even though they have very targeted missions. Well, here's how the Syrians are taking care of situations. They are actually crucifying Christians now. If you are a Christian in Syria, if you are an Alawite or a Christian, and of course now this punishment is reserved, as I understand it, only for the Christians. They are actually crucifying Christians again. David, your comments.
Yeah, that's what Jesus said. He said, you know, they'll crucify you too, you know, and here we're seeing it, and it's ramping up. People think all the martyrs were way back then, when in fact there's more martyrs today for the kingdom than there has ever been in all of history. And that's just leading us again right up to the return of the king. Mm-hmm. Now, the only solace we have is, as sad as this is, it's like Stephen, when they were stoning him. And stoning is just as bad as crucifixion. It was horrible. Stoning, they would take big rocks, and basically they'd tie you up, and they'd start at your feet and bust your feet up and break all your bones and work up your legs. So you torture pain all the way up until they finally crushed your head. So they're stoning Stephen, and Stephen's like looking up and saying, "Oh, look, there's Jesus. This is great." He's sitting at the right hand of God. And he's not even feeling it. So that gives us some hope that, you know, "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" So it, if it looks horrible to us, they're literally in glory with the king at this point, if they're born again. So that's this solace that we get out of that. And that will, that the king will come, and he will be the great judge of all the universe. And then those who are beheaded for Christ or any of these things will actually have a special crown for all eternity.
Right.
So there's that. Not saying that I want to be tortured or anything to get a crown, because that's kind of sadistic a little bit. But those people are, because of the horrific nature of it. They will have a crown for all eternity.
Amen.
To in a like a special reward, if you would.
As will those of us who are looking for the rapture of the church.
Yeah, get a reward for looking.
Yes. Yes, and you know, we encourage you guys. I mean, that's what the show is all about, trying to find that last Christian, that last individual to accept Christ before the rapture. I used to say this all the time, but I hadn't said it in a long time, so I'm going to say it again. The rapture is kind of like the last play of a football game. You know, the quarterback drops back, throws a pass, you know, it's win or lose right now. And when that ball hits the ground, it game's over. Well, when the rapture occurs, the game is over as far as being able to escape the tribulation period that is to come, which is this, the worst 7 years that the world's ever seen or will ever see again. Now, those first 3.5 years, not so bad. But the last 3.5 years, you don't want to be there for. And you can avoid that very simply by seeing, by simply saying, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I know Jesus Christ is your son. I know he died on the cross for me. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he was raised on that third day, just like he said he would be. I know that there were over 500 people that saw him at exactly the same time. I know that people saw him ascend to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. And I know he promised to come back and get his church before God unleashes that wrath, those 7 years of horror. I want to be a part of that. Please forgive me, and I promise to follow you the rest of the days of my life." And pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. In your own words, there's no particular format to it, but you've got to believe it in your heart. And if you will do that, you will avoid the tribulation period, and you'll be with me and David and every other Christian living and dead that returns with Jesus Christ for that final time, and you want to be there for that one. We're going to be looking at the horses from behind, not from in front. I promise you that. And if you'll just accept the Lord, you'll be right there with us. And that's where we want you to be. And we hope that these broadcasts will reach those individuals that are looking and seeking the Lord. And remember, the Holy Spirit is the one that's talking to you. We can't make you accept Christ. All we can do is lead you there and then allow the Holy Spirit to take over. And if the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart right now, please accept him before it is too late, because time is definitely running out before we reach the end of time here on earth to accept him. So please accept him now. It's better now than later. If there's a next time, we'll be back with the next show of Last Christian. Good night. God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration?
tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show. Available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net, this powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.